AI sales reps?
Yes, I think this will be a thing. You know, a lot of companies will start using that in their real estate investment companies, meaning they'll be able to communicate in any sort of way. You know, it could be text, could be email, could be voice. So leads come in, they will be doing all the follow-up in a predefined way, having smart conversations with leads, negotiating deals, either by text, email, or voice, and sending out the contract for them to sign, you know, doing basically the whole sales process.
Welcome to Turning Profit, a podcast for people that love real estate. Learn the business models and skills that professional real estate investors use to make money and build wealth. Visit turningprofit.com for a wealth of investor resources. And now, here are your hosts, Pete and Heather Reese.
Welcome to the Turning Profit podcast. Heather, it's so great to be here once again.
I know, right?
Yeah, I kind of yelled into the microphone there, so that was maybe a little bit abrupt. I woke you up, hopefully. Yeah, we did some little changes to our set today. I don't know if you are watching or listening, but if you are watching, you can see there are some minor changes. We've got some bigger changes coming in the future. We bought some plants. Heather has been hard at work cultivating these. And
I didn't even get a chance to lead. You're supposed to fluff the fake plants.
I took care of that. Well, on that one, I did. This one, I didn't. But anyhow.
It'll be okay. But yeah, so instead of doing like the whole, this is the new remodel.
We're doing it in steps.
As we get stuff in. That's right. The issue is like having a get here. But well, and that's an interesting thing because it's logistics. That's the issue right now is getting everything that we've ordered and then having time to get it done.
Yeah.
Today's topic might help with that in the future for other people.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think today's topic will help in pretty much every business out there. So we're going to be talking about AI and how it's affecting the land investing business. So not just things that are happening right now, things that are going to be happening in the near future, and also things that might be happening in the distant future. Not might be, but I'm pretty confident that will happen in the distant future.
But I also want to reiterate that AI is your special interest.
Well, I love AI. I love technology. I love everything that's kind of happening. So the world, I'm convinced, is changing. It's going to be changing rapidly. So I've been studying everything to do with AI and lots of other technologies that are associated with it. So
I want to jump in because I think that something you said, how it's, the world's changing. And we've talked about this before, how we went through, you know, the different cycles. We like started kind of real estate investing in the early 2000s. And I feel like we were slow to adapt then.
Yes.
Maybe it's just because we couldn't imagine things could change so drastically. And so that was kind of one of the things that once we got back into real estate that we were like, we will not be caught off guard. We will adapt a lot quicker. We will look for signs. We will utilize tools. There's like a lot of things that we learned from that area or that time period that have helped, will greatly help with the success now. But I think that also plays into, well, I mean, also even this is fun.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. But it's fun to me because I could see all the possibilities. I think I can clearly see some of the big changes that are going to be happening. Now, there'll be a lot of changes that I'm not even anticipating right now. And many others aren't even anticipating right now. So
the big takeaway is, there's going to be a lot of changes, things we don't even know about, things that we can't even imagine talking about today because it's just not in the realm of possibility in our brains. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It's about reacting and taking advantage of it and creating systems for the future where you take into account that you don't know, as opposed to saying like, I'm not going to grow any farther. This is the most I'm going to grow. Right. So like anything that comes at me now, I don't care because I'm going to do it this old school way.
Before we get into the real estate stuff, I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you excited for any of these advancements that are coming? Anything specifically that you think will be a big change in the future that is likely to happen?
I mean, yeah. But I think I don't know if I'm smart enough or wise enough to know that I don't know.
Well, I mean, obviously there's going to be changes in pretty much every aspect of society. Mm-hmm. Big changes coming in real estate investing, like we're talking about. But there's other changes coming in areas that are maybe more important to the world, like healthcare, robotics, things like that that will really change things. Is anything in particular that you're interested in? No, I don't know. I'm just curious.
Like, am I forgetting something? Yeah, a lot of things. You know, like my special interest, I'm like really into the medical and the scientific use of that and stuff. I think, well, we were talking about this yesterday, that AI should be able to help limit the testing on animals. You know, I mean, it's like a weird thing because I think animal testing is horribly like wrong and bad. However, I also see a side that it's necessary, which is sad, right?
Mm-hmm. At the moment it is, I guess.
Yeah. And maybe that can help with limiting suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, on a personal level, maybe, or an emotional level, I think that's really cool. I think there should be advancements in cancer treatment, diagnostics.
I think it's going to be more than just cancer treatment. I think we're going to be able to solve most of the major diseases in the future.
Like eliminate them.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even prevent them. Like for me, vaccines. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know, like we've already made so many advancements. And if that can help with more vaccines, and not just for us, but for, you know, countries where if they get a disease that can be treated here, they can't get it treated there necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of places in Africa, you can't just hop on over to here, you know,
mm-hmm.
amazing hospitals here, but even they have limitations,
mm-hmm.
limitations in doctor's time. I mean, there's like, yeah. So that would be like
the medical side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and also if I'm being like, just me personally, I would love an AI that could like do my grocery shopping, could make our meals. I suck at that.
Yeah. So like an AI with a robot.
Could they just do the laundry? I don't know. For some reason, that's something I can't give up on. Or housekeeping. Like, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. So instead of bossing me around, you can just boss the robot around.
Yeah, but the weird thing is I think I'm more sympathetic to the robot. I'd be like, excuse me.
You'd be polite to the robot.
Could you mm-hmm. please yeah. help me with this? I'm like,
Peter. That's what she says.
Yeah. I don't know. So what are you most excited?
The medical side of things is obviously going to change society quite a bit, I think.
Paymon salute to be 5,000.
Well, that's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
It's solving the aging problem. Yeah. So not just like curing, not just like stopping aging, but you can actually, there's many people who think they'll be able to reverse it. And not just this talk about this weird stuff that people are doing, these weird treatments that people are saying, you know, extends your life expectancy and things like that, but like actually really solving it.
But there's a lot of noise in that industry right now.
Because they're not there yet, but no. They will be.
Right, yeah. And I think that
in my opinion.
Actually, I think that's going to help with the evidence-based practices because you see some wild crap on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I was just telling you about something called a Berlin pill. I'd like scrolled past it. I was like, you've got to be kidding, where they grind up the Berlin Wall and it's supposed to make you happy and you take this pill and it's like...
I hope none of our audience is doing that because that's just not smart.
Well, what carcinogens are in that? They were saying something about how all this, it releases happiness. So I'm like, that wall is the epitome of sadness, separation.
Death?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
So, but I think that with AI, you can kind of cut to the chase better, hopefully. Like these kinds of things will be easily knocked out of it. Like whoever's pushing that is trying to sell you something.
Drug discoveries will take months instead of, you know, decades. So anyhow, I guess we're getting off track here. But there are going to be so many advancements in society. Real estate investing is just one small piece of that. So we're trying to keep an eye on the real big picture. As right. well as our own niche.
Yeah, but imagine there's crossover. You
mm-hmm.
like, oh, we can use that here.
Mm-hmm.
Because real estate is, yeah, in and of itself, it's a real estate. It's a property thing or land or whatever, but there's people. And I think you'll probably get into that too. Like, there's people that are involved in the real estate transactions and processes. And real estate has implications with, you know, people experiencing homelessness, all these kinds of things. So I don't know. I think I'm excited. Hopefully we'll be alive long enough to see it really. I know you don't like it.
Just talked about the they're solving the aging problem, Heather. Okay. So, hey everyone, just a quick reminder that you can join our community for free at landconquest.com. Inside, you'll get all the resources, training, and support for building a thriving land flipping business. Once again, that's landconquest.com. All right, enjoy the rest of the show.
I'm happy. I want quality of life. You want to live forever. So we'll see how that plays out.
Okay. But it's not just living forever. It's actually like, I think people have this idea that like, oh, you know, I don't want to live to 100 because, you know, they see what people that are 100 years old look like and act like and everything like that. But it would actually be having like a brain like you have now and, you know, an appearance like you have now, just simply being older. No, that's a tangent. I guess that'll be a different episode of the Turning Profit podcast. So I've broken down these things into three categories. We've got the current stuff that is happening right now. These are things that are actively being used in the real estate investing industry. We've got things that are coming soon. And I've also broken those down into two separate categories, next 6 months and then 1 to 2 years. So, and then also coming at some point, that's the next major category. These are things that I'm relatively certain will be coming. It's just the timeline for that is a little bit uncertain.
I'm looking for the part where it says coming at some point that we don't know.
You mean like potential things, or is that what you mean?
I'm or with you. Like, there's so many things that we can't handle.
Oh, yes. Yes. This is just a surface level.
It's funny though, but that actually makes me most excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to go back on this and be like, oh, this was just a.
We don't know what we don't know. Yeah.
I think when you talked about like, if you could keep growing, you know, older and with your brain or whatever, I think that my brain has finally reached that point where I don't know. And that's like the best part.
Oh, just like when you were 18 years old, you knew everything. At least I did. Then you, the older you get, you realize I don't know anything.
No, it's actually insane that they let you have children. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Isn't it crazy?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with current. You talked about AI chat box. Okay. You said text only. What do you mean by that?
Okay. So we use AI chat bots in our Link Conquest business system. So basically when a lead comes in to our the CRM portion of the business system, then it will drum up a conversation with the lead. So especially if it's a web-based lead, something that comes in through our pay-per-click advertising or whatever. So what happens is the AI chatbot, basically it's the AI that has a conversation with the lead. And we're just asking some qualifying questions and trying to get some information that may be missing, you know, in the lead submission or something like that. So basically starting up a conversation from their perspective, you know, it's someone on our team that's kind of like jumping in and trying to establish, you know, just get some information, help them out. So
the basic things. Oh, okay. It looks like you entered this address and now do you know if you have access? Like, what kind of questions does it ask?
Well, just so tell me about the property. You know, and then it'll say like, have you had any perk tests done on the property? You know, like, why are you looking to sell and everything like that? And what's interesting about it is that we're not just like programming it and giving it some sort of like, hey, if they say this, respond with this. Mm-hmm. We give it goals, but then it responds and it adapts accordingly. It's smart. It's like a human would, you know, a call center rep or something like that, how they would interact. So it's not just like cut and dry, like they say this, you say that. It's fluid.
So it's like, why do you want to sell? And it's like, I don't know, it says something, whatever. And then it says, that's great. Why do you want to sell?
It's smarter. Yeah. So the old chatbots have been around for a while, but they were programmed. Like people had to go in and like, and basically try to figure out every potential thing that someone would say and then come up with a potential response, come up with an exact response for all those different situations. It's no longer like that. It's very fluid and everything. So there's been some big advancements with that, and the models are getting smarter and smarter every day. So these are really very useful. There's a number of companies out there that are using these chatbots, AI chatbots, for their customer service, customer support, and they're able to increase their efficiency and their customer success scores and all this kind of stuff. So we're using that right now in their business, and anyone that uses our Land Conquest business system, we have the ability to plug that in for you as well if you're using the system. Oh, just go to software.landconquest.com. You'll see all the information about it.
Okay, I like that because I wonder how many times I've been talking to people. You know what I mean? It turns out I'm like literally talking to
them. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I think a lot of the web-based submissions and things, a lot of the larger companies probably are using that technology.
But we've talked about it, like even ordering somewhere, like if I go through a drive-through Starbucks or something, Starbucks is pretty good. And a few times where it's been messed up and I'm like, wouldn't it be great if it was just a chat?
Well, that's coming. Yeah. If that's, you know, especially, you know, since there's a lot of talk about that, since they raised the minimum wage here in California, I think $20 an hour or something like that. So a lot of these fast food places are actually transitioning to as much automation as possible. And that's the drive-through person is going to be one of the first things that's so.
I guess they just haven't outsourced that to somewhere far away where it's cheaper labor.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't, you know, people probably would revolt against that. Okay. So your next thing is research is so much easier with tools like ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini, etc.
So basically you can take a look at, you know, there's lots of, if you're working in new areas like we do, we're constantly working in different counties, different states, everything like that. So we're always trying to research building codes, you know, the potential to split these properties and things like that. It's very easy to take like these very large documents and websites and everything like that and use them to kind of summarize the information and basically make our research much, much easier than it used to be. So asking small and narrow questions is obviously a thing as well. You know, more than just getting a link from Google and then you having to research and read it, you know, thousands of different, you know, pages of stuff, you know, it can compile everything.
Something that I really like about that is that I used to just spend a lot of time, like, if I wanted to code something, I'd have to like look it up and then I had to do all this. Now you could ask a question and say, how do I do this? Or how do I do that? And I think that I was thinking of the same kind of thing with this, is that there's a lot of things in title reports that are confusing, or what does this mean? Mm-hmm. Or the zoning here, or what does this mean? Or whatever, like asking direct questions to somebody without having to call somebody.
Yeah.
So just that, you know, I guess it's along the same lines. You also say data analysis is so much easier.
Yeah. So we use this, you know, I think we did a podcast episode about this at the beginning of the year. We did a study of all of our previous transactions. So basically, I uploaded all of our data from, you know, a big spreadsheet of all these transactions.
Excuse me. Hmm. I remember walking in and you were working on that. And I was like, why didn't you just upload that?
Yes. So I was towards the end of it. And then, Heather's like, oh, and I was like, oh my gosh, why didn't I do that? So, and then I uploaded it to ChatGPT and just basically asked some questions and it analyzed the data and gave me some more insights that would have taken me manually like many, many hours to do. You know, so anyhow, so you can use tools like that to really kind of supercharge whatever you're trying to do right now and cut down that time it takes to do things.
I find myself forgetting.
And yep.
I'm like, you've got to be freaking kidding.
Yeah. How much time did I waste?
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's about training our brains to be like, oh, wait, we have this tool.
Yeah.
We need to use it.
Yes.
Ability to train custom AI models for narrow use cases.
This is possible right now. And this is just simply a matter of taking the time and having the know-how to actually be able to use these AI models in order to do specific things. Now, there's many different potential use cases in real estate investing. You can train, you could train a model to look at land like we do. You know, it's a very manual process, pulling the comps and everything like that. You could train these models to actually do that process for you. Now, it's going to be an extensive training process, but once you do have it trained, you could really leverage it and save yourself a lot of time. So you could do many other things. You could train models to find you good investment properties that are listed on the market, you know? So that's a potential use case as well. So many different potential use cases that are actually quite possible now. It's just simply a matter of the time necessary to train these and actually, you know, the know-how to do it. So
it makes sense. Okay. So we're going to jump to coming soon. And you're saying in the next 6 months.
Okay. Yes.
AI voice.
Yes. So this is possible now. It's not as great as it's going to be within 6 months or actually sooner than that. AI voice, meaning that we'll be using AI voice instead of our manual call center. Right now, we send out direct mail. When people respond to our letter or mail that we send, they call into our call answering service now. It's actually humans that answer the phone and everything. But within 6 months, we will have it deployed. So it'll be an AI voice answering the call. So, and then it will, you know, hopefully be superior to some of the humans that are answering the phones. Right. So,
well, because it will be better trained in our industry.
It'll have as much knowledge as we give them about our company. You know, right. We can train it with all kinds of stuff about land investing in particular, so it can ask smart questions and qualify that lead right away and kind of take the next step.
And I think also, it's not going to have a bad day. There's not going to be a bad mood. There's no feelings, and we can ramp it up if we need 1,000,
right.
Got 1,000, where we don't have to go out and like train and find and try, you know, do that. Okay. You say 1 to 2 years, you're looking at AI sales reps.
Yes. I think this will be a thing. You know, a lot of companies will start using that in their real estate investment companies, meaning they'll be able to communicate in any sort of way. You know, it could be text, could be email, could be voice. So there'll be, you know, leads come in. They will be doing all the follow-up, you know, in a predefined way, having smart conversations with leads, negotiating deals, you know, either by text, email, or voice, and sending out the contract for them to sign and, you know, doing basically the whole sales process.
I still think we'll need some humans, maybe as the managers, obviously, you know, we're not going to.
Right. For the next 2 years, probably. Yeah. Eventually, a lot of, you know, sales managers and things like that, probably that role may be able to be
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you still need the people doing the final check off.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes.
Okay. And then you're saying expert property valuation.
Are you looking to scale your land flipping business quickly? Well, we're happy to present our new cutting edge system built specifically for land flippers. Take a look at the Land Conquest business system today and you'll gain full access to a customizable pre-made website, CRM, dedicated phone numbers, text automations, 24/7 support, and more. It's basically a business in the box. Go to software.landconquest.com to learn more. You know, we touched on this briefly when talking about like training specific models and everything like that. But in 1 to 2 years, I think that will, you know, there'll be a lot of advancements that will be made. So we'll be able to, our team will be able to use these tools to kind of take out a lot of the menial work of like looking up these comps and everything like that. We'll just be able to plug the information into these tools and then we'll be able to just kind of verify the information and make decisions based off of that.
Like even if we just said, okay, if someone or not someone, something, yeah, I guess you'd call that, adds the address. You get a lead that comes in, right? It takes the address or whatever it is. It adds it to some other system, which then automatically gets, like, every single thing that you as a human would need to look at, it pulls all that.
Yeah.
Like, automatically.
Yep.
Within seconds.
Compiles it all, yes.
Everything. So you're not, because a lot of the work in valuation is actually the pooling the research. And there's only so much time. There's only, you know what I mean? And there's human error because you might miss this or you might miss that. Well, they're going to pull everything. You might still be like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
But that would be huge. And then it would just take, it would, the more you value it, the more you give it, you know, this information, it's going to get better and better.
Yep.
And it's going to say, here's my value.
Exactly. That's coming.
Okay. And then you have certain types of land will become more demand due to fundamental changes in society. So why don't you go through that?
Yeah. So here's just a few potential things that are coming. These are in the next year or two, people will start realizing, hey, like this type of land is going to be more valuable in the future. So they'll start accumulating these things and they will also, you know, the values will start to increase accordingly. Mm-hmm. So things like solar farmland. So these could be some desert properties that we're looking at now and thinking like, what are you going to do with that? But obviously, if you've got land in the middle of the desert, that's producing lots of sunlight all the time. Those are great for solar farms. It's just kind of like, where are you going to, you know, how are you going to connect it to a grid and things like that are going to be some of the challenges. But there will be opportunities there to actually put like large data centers. They'll be building more and more data centers to support all this AI infrastructure. And why not do it where you can have a large solar farm right next to it?
Right. So you've got the electricity, you can cool it.
You'll have all the energy, renewable energy right there to you know, run your data center. So I see those things happening quite a bit. Also battery facilities, you know, properties that you may not be looked at as desirable, but renewable energy is going to be a huge part of our future society. So we'll need battery facilities to actually meet that off-peak, you know, demand times when the sun is not producing energy or the wind is not blowing, something like that. So we'll need batteries to store that energy.
I liked what you were talking about it too, when there's disaster areas where you have these big facilities that are building up the power in these big batteries.
Yeah.
Large things, and then they get on these trucks that are battery powered and they could go right into, like, if there's a huge hurricane that hits the Gulf Coast, that sucks. They don't have electricity for a while and you just bring in the big battery packs, right?
I kind of have this idea in my head that, like, and maybe someone's working on this, but like large solar farms in the middle of the desert, basically, that are somewhat near a major roadway. So they may not be near a transmission grid or something like that, but they could be producing this energy. They're basically charging up these, maybe it looks like a tractor trailer, but it's just a battery unit. Mm-hmm. And then they, at regular intervals, they're just getting picked up. They're getting driven to wherever this power is needed with these electric powered big rigs. Mm-hmm. On autopilot, probably in the middle of the night. And then they'll keep swapping out these things back and forth. So,
right. And there's no electricity needed because everything's powered by this.
Right.
That's creating its own energy. And the trucks could even have their own
So they drive it to an area and then they drop off the charged one. They pick up the one that's, you know, only got 10% of the charge left, but enough to drive it back to the solar farm and just all on autopilot. So, right, you know. Other things like commercial farming will change based on advancements in technology. So, you know, it's hard to foresee exactly what types of land will be most important for that, but there will be a lot of changes coming with that. And then also mining for certain materials will adapt to technology as well. One example on that is the Salton Sea area around here was kind of a big wasteland area for many, many years. Really yeah. It's, have you ever been out there? It's not the most beautiful place. Well, maybe it is beautiful to some people, but
still.
Yeah, it smells really bad. It smells like dying fish. But anyhow, that area is actually going through a huge renaissance, as you could say, because they realize that there's lots of lithium deposits there, which are critical for a lot of the battery technology that we use now. So there'll be things like that, opportunities like that, that come up. So it's probably the land is a lot more expensive in those areas now than it used to be at some point.
Yeah, it's funny because they had a resurgence. Well, they keep having this, like they're built as a place to get away, right?
Yes.
And then it died off. And then it started building up again. And then it died again. And now here we go again. I don't know. Long term?
We'll see.
Okay. So now we're going to get into coming at some point.
Yes.
I haven't looked at these yet. So let's see. Let's start with property records will be changing. Okay. But the problem is, and I talk about this, those small little municipalities aren't even online. You can't even e-file. You can't even e-record. How are we going to convince them this is the way of the future? Are we not?
To expand on this, property records will be changing, meaning they'll be managed on the blockchain. So it'll be an effortless transfer. Title history will be defined and the transfer process will be much quicker and easier. So basically,
can they take out the offensive stuff too?
Oh, you mean title history and yeah. Everything like that? Yeah, I'm sure they'll be able to do that. Yeah.
Scrap that. I don't want to see any like restrictions up.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Okay.
Okay. So basically what I'm talking about here is that it's a very cumbersome process to transfer title to a property now. Mm-hmm. So it's not the same way with car. It's not the same way when you buy anything, really. You buy a camera, you buy anything like that. It's just an easy process. It's an easy transaction. I think real estate's going to be like that at some point. So in order for that to happen, it needs to be on the blockchain. It needs to be, so these property records, which are all public record already, like who owns a certain property or yeah, so who owns a certain property or whatever, that'll remain the same, but there's going to be some sort of process to prove the title history of a property, you know, like they'll research the title history of a property and then it'll get kind of certified to be on the blockchain, be like a certified property title or whatever. And then, you know, it'll be easy to buy a property like that. Now, you still will have time to investigate other aspects of a property that you're buying or whatever. But the actual title process, the title transfer, that will be an easy process. So your question is like, how are you going to get these municipalities to do it? You'll have service providers that will kind of define this infrastructure. They'll sell it all to these municipalities and say, hey, you're going to be able to save money. You just do this. Here's the software. Here's everything you need. So it'll take time. Some of these will not adopt it right away, but eventually over time, it'll just be, once it starts getting some momentum, then it will happen. I mean, it's a needed thing. It needs to happen. Just a matter of how soon this is actually going to occur.
I guess, I mean, in theory, and I think you touched on it too, the safety concern, mm-hmm. You know, so we don't get the unsavory characters. That's a new one. You know, they get in there and impersonate. I guess that can happen anyway. Fractionized property ownership.
Yeah, I think it'll be an easier process. You know, so it will be a situation where you'll have these maybe large properties, large commercial properties, I think will be this way. So it'll be fractionalized ownership. There'll be entities that basically acquire these things. They'll fractionalize the ownership. So you'll easily get, you know, you'll easily know that you own 1/200th of this large apartment building or something like that. And you get 1/200th of the distribution of the profit, something like that. So it'll all be blockchain based as well. But so I guess it's not AI, but it will be a change that's going to be coming to the real estate market at some point.
So like if I want to invest in this building, I can do.
Yeah. And then it'll be whole markets for, you know, like trading these things and all that kind of stuff. So
there'll be like EFTs, like where like the EFT will own a fraction of the.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to get really advanced. But yeah, basically, the transferring of property ownership will be fairly easy when it comes to fractionalizing some of these very large assets.
And then the next thing you have on, demographic trends will change dramatically due to the development of new technologies. The values will change along with it.
You know, demographics will change because of these new technologies, meaning there will be certain areas that people will move to, certain areas that people will move out of. You know, like maybe there will be a move away from the cities. Maybe there'll be a move towards certain areas where certain technologies are becoming a hub in that area. The fact that, you know, less and less people will have to report to an in-person job, I think will be a big thing. So maybe a migration away from like large population centers and maybe towards other areas. So some of these things, we don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but I know that there will be changes. So
I think it'll be a choice too, because some people really like living in big cities, but it's going to be their choice, not the ones who are forced to, because, well, you know, the next one is kind of my favorite, I think. Well, these next two, new building technologies will make some properties easier and cheaper to develop.
So like there will be all kinds of building technologies that develop and not just, you know, like 3D printed homes are a thing. And, you know, I'm sure that technology will advance, you know, like factory built homes, you know, using technology to kind of make these things quite a bit easier. And, you know, some of the infrastructure, you know, like you'll probably be able to have self-contained power, so you don't have to tap into an energy grid. All kinds of things like that will make development of properties much easier in the future.
Right. I like the robots will change the industry.
Oh, yes.
Because there's actually a lot of dangerous jobs.
Yes.
Like window washing on tall skyscrapers.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Like, right. They have those like little ones that you can buy for your house that'll like clean your windows for you and everything. Those will be coming on a large scale for these large buildings. So that's what a lot of people are talking about, is the fact that robotics, one of the first things it'll do is replace some of those really dangerous jobs that humans have to do right now. But if we can develop robots to do some of those jobs, then that will be a big thing a big change coming. So, and then eventually these robots will be getting more and more capable over time, and we'll be able to, you know, replace some of those monotonous and dangerous and tough jobs.
Well, and the big thing too is that it's going to be, they'll take the human error and take that out of the thing. You know, you see people who are on the sides of roads cleaning up or whatever, and they get killed because they step back. You know, robot hopefully will have the defined things. So they're not going to cause accidents on the road either. Yeah, I'm excited for the future. I hope we should do this again in 6 months or a year and just see what actually happened.
Yes.
What are the things that we didn't even know?
Yes, there's crazy things coming. So we're trying to stay ahead of them, but many of the advancements that are coming are things that we can't even anticipate. So.
And in fact, just yesterday, Apple did their release.
Oh, yes, their new things that are coming down the road. So yeah, they've got a lot of cool things that are being built into the iPhone and iPads and all that stuff.
Do you have a great deal under contract? Well, submit it to partnerwithpete.com. The Partner with Pete program is a deal funding program where we will actually use our funds to complete the purchase of the property. We will do every other step of the process, including the due diligence, the transaction side, the marketing side, and the transaction on the resale side. And when all the dust settles, we will split the profits 50-50. There is no downside for you as an investor, only upside. So once again, go to partnerwithpete.com, submit your deal there, and let's get it funded.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Okay, so now we're going to transition to our questions of the week.
Yes.
Where do I get these questions from?
These are questions that are pulled from our Land Conquest land investing community. So in order to find that, you can go to landconquest.com, or it's hosted on the school platform. So you can go to school.com/landconquest. So that's our community. We're over 4,000 members, 4,300 members right now as of this filming. And yeah, it's just growing every day.
It's so free to join.
Yes.
And then this would also be a good time to point out, we do have, if you're interested in land investing, we have a solution for you there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we have a premium offering that is not free, but it's very reasonably priced. It's our roundtable community, which is our kind of advanced level community. If you're serious about this business and learning how to invest and network with other land investors, and we have a full training program that's available in there as well as our Land Conquest business system or software solution that will help you organize and run your business. And so we've got all that in there. And that's, you can find that information at roundtable.landconquest.com.
Right. Okay. So I do go to Land Conquest. So you can pretty much get.
Yeah. You can get everything from there. Yeah.
Okay. So a question from the community first comes from Evan. It's negotiation. Has anyone had success following up and negotiating with leads who ask above market for their properties? For example, let's say you want to pay $22,000 for a property that you'd sell for $37,000. However, the owner is asking $40,000. Anyone had success in negotiating this number to almost 50% down all the way to $22,000?
Yes, we do all the time. A lot of the initial conversations that we have with sellers were way too far apart on the price. We let them know why that we can only pay what we want to pay. We let them know, you know, like what we're seeing with their property and everything like that. Sometimes these sellers have a particular number in their mind, And then when they go to actually talk to a real estate agent or something like that, they realize that they were off. Or maybe they take no steps to actually, you know, retail the property or something like that. And then they'll come back to us at a later point and we're able to work out a deal. So these are ones that you have to follow up with, but we get put together a lot of deals that way.
Jaden says, marketing question. How much money do you guys typically invest into direct mail? And how many letters do you send out on average? I'm looking for more urban recreational properties and I want to figure out what would be a good range of mailers to send out.
Yeah, so this really depends. It depends what your budget is for marketing. It depends what type of numbers you're trying to hit. Depends what types of properties that you're going after. I don't have a great answer. It's just, it kind of depends. So we send out about 50,000 letters a month at this point. But, you know, you might be at the point where you're sending out, you know, 2,000 letters a month, something like that. So I don't know what your individual situation is or whatever, but you have to, you know, kind of map out a budget and try to do some projections based off of how many deals you want to do at the level you're at and then go from there.
All right. I've pushed Pete on this one so many times because I think people want a clear answer. And the problem is that there's no clear answer. Right?
Yes. No clear answer.
I think the best thing to do would be that whole reverse engineer. What is your goal for, you know, income, property, stuff like that? And then what's it going to take to get there? And we do talk about that more in the Land Compass course, correct?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Where is it exactly where to find that?
Well, that's in our roundtable community. Okay. So that's our kind of our expert, our next level community.
Right. So everyone can get together and kind of like help you hash that out. And that's the best way to do it. Because saying if you were to say, oh, okay, well, based off your goals, which I don't know what they are, you need to be spending, you know, $50,000 or $2,000 or $5,000. That doesn't make any sense because it's dependent on what your goal is, not based off of what I just tell you you have to spend. And also the area, the competition.
Lots of variables. Yeah.
The good thing about the community and especially the roundtable is that there's people that have been there before.
Right.
And they can be like, oh, this is your goal. Here's where you should be.
Yeah. Plus, actually, we do a weekly Q&A call. Where I'm running the call as a Zoom call, and anyone that wants to join in, and then I'll happily answer your questions directly.
So the next question is from Ebony, VA questions. Hi all, for those who've hired virtual assistants, what is the training process like for them? Are you spending time one-on-one or do you use training aids or videos? And how long did your onboarding process take before they are ready to work? Thanks.
Yeah, so I guess it depends what kind of role you're looking for as the timing, how long it'll take. Typically, you know, if we're bringing someone new onto the team, we'll start small, you know, with one task, and then we'll continue to add tasks to that. The best way that I've found to teach people how to do certain things is to film Loom videos. So if you're not familiar with Loom, it's kind of an app that you use that will record your screen and allow you to talk and kind of describe what you're doing in the screen. Basically, just take one task at a time. Film this Loom video, which is super easy to do. Talk about what you want to do. So it's great because it also gives them the ability to watch the video maybe multiple times. They don't get it through the first round. And then you just teach it one time.
And then if you do need to reteach it, this person doesn't work out.
Yeah, you've got the assets there ready to go.
Also, just in case something happened to you, if you're sick or someone needs to jump in, it's important to have those backups. Okay, so next question is from Randy. Listing with an agent versus flat fee listing service. I've always just listed with an agent, but I often wonder if it's actually that beneficial. What have your experiences been using flat fee MLS?
Yeah, so we've used flat fee MLS a few times. Our business model is to use qualified expert land agents in order to sell our properties. So in the past, we have had a few properties that we have sold through direct MLS postings because we weren't able to find a professional that we were happy with. But I don't like it. I mean, you're actually taking on a whole bunch more work. You are communicating with the buyers directly. You probably don't have, you know, if someone talks to you directly, a lot of times you're kind of giving up some of that credibility, you know, that a seasoned, you know, real estate professional would have representing you. So maybe some of these buyers just think it's maybe not legit or something like that. If you're trying to represent the sale of your property yourself, you might save a few percentage points on your commissions, but you're still going to be paying a commission if another real estate agent brings you their buyer. So that's the thing. We don't prefer it. If you have a really inexpensive property, you might be forced to do that because, you know, their real estate agents have minimums as far as the properties that they will sell and everything like that. So if you're trying to sell a $20,000 property, you might have to list it yourself.
Right. You know? I think the big reason is you need to be hyper-focused on bringing leads.
Yes, that's the biggest point that I actually missed there. You're right. Like, you know, yeah, that's the important. That's where you're going to make the money in this business is getting the deals.
What do you say? Chasing nickels? I don't know. I mean, it's saying.
I forget what this is. But
chasing the pennies or the nickels or the dollar, whatever.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at the big picture. And yeah, I like the protection that actually comes from using somebody that's local. They're going to local disclosures. They're going to know more than you.
Yeah.
You can't be an expert in every single area.
And with real estate, it's one of those things. It's good to have some separation between you as the property owner and the buyer. So that's one other benefit that we don't talk about much.
Well, that was another fun episode.
Yes. Great episode, Heather. I'm super excited about all the advancements that are coming with technology and AI in the future. And can't wait to see where it all goes.
Yeah. Well, see you guys next week. I know that's where that's going.
Yes. Yeah. We'll see you then. Okay, bye. Nice.
Ready to start turning profit yourself? Head to turningprofit.com to step up your real estate investing game. See you on the next episode.